All right, we start a new series this morning called Love Life. And so it'll be about sex, dating, and relationships. And so today we're talking about friends. And can't we just be friends? And what does that look like? So let's open with a word of prayer, and then we will dive in this morning to this new series. Father, thank you for this morning, Lord. I just thank you for this time that we have to come and to worship you and to celebrate this day of resurrection and redemption, Father, and forgiveness, Lord. That the tomb is empty, God, because you are alive and well, Father. And we just thank you and praise you for that. And this morning, Lord, we just turn our attention to you so we are able to focus and to tune in to what you would say to us this morning about relationships, about friendships, Father. So just help us to open our hearts and minds to what you would say, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we are designed, you've heard it say this before, we are designed by God to be relational, to be in relationships. We need each other. We need each other quite literally. We need each other. A rude, crude, and cruel experiment was carried out by the Emperor Frederick for Rome, who ruled the Roman Empire in the 13th century. He wanted to know what man's original language was. So was it Hebrew? Was it Greek? Was it Latin? So he decided to isolate a few infants from the sound of the human voice. So he reasoned that they would eventually speak the natural tongue of man. That if no one taught them a language, they'd just naturally start speaking the language of man. And so the nurses and those who cared for them were sworn to absolute silence. And of course, it was difficult for them, but they abided by that rule. The infants never heard a word, not a sound of a human voice. And every single one of them within months was dead. They needed that relationship. Relationships, friends with other people. I mean, they're even still important to us as adults. And even old people. There are just short of 1 billion Facebook users in the world. Okay, so grasp that. 1 billion Facebook users. That's one in every 7 people have a Facebook account. In the entire world. Okay, for some of you, not looking at your phone or your device for just an hour even is near impossible, right? I mean, you can't just last an hour. Just see what's the latest update? Oh, what's the latest Snapchat? Oh, what's the message? All right, I mean, even driving down the road, you'll steal glances, right? Or keep it somewhere close so you can see what is happening. Many people base their quality of life on the relationships and the friends around them. They base their life on who is close to them. Friends are a big deal. Friends are a really big deal, right? Especially when we have good friends. That can last a lifetime. And so here's a few examples of good friends in our real world, right? This is what good friends look like, right? Great friends, right? These two guys are awesome friends, right? They stick together no matter what. Okay, what about these two? Yes. Bob and Larry, right? They're good friends. Okay? What about these guys? They good friends? Yeah? Through everything, right? Lord of the Rings, yes? Frodo? Me either. I'm just told they're good friends. Don't be offended. It's all right. And what about this? Yes? I've not seen this either. It's okay. See, but Harry Potter, his friends, right? They are good friends. And so you've grown up with some friends, and maybe you've known each other your whole life. Maybe you've had the same friends since like kindergarten, and you've just known each other forever. Or maybe your family moved around a lot. And so you know that having good friends isn't necessarily easy. Even if you're a friendly person, it's not easy. But this idea of friendship is all around us, right? Apps that connect us. I mean, we're always connected. Everything seems to want to try to connect you in some way, shape, or form, right? Xbox Live, okay, like I said, the apps, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, all the rest, okay, we're trying to make connections with others. Okay, let me kind of visualize it for you in this way. Okay, so here you are, okay, right there in the middle, and we have friends, right? So first we have like family members, right? Family members who are friends. And you may not like your family, but they're family, so they're your friends. So, tough. Get over it. Okay? So maybe you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, something like that, significant other. Okay? You have your BFFs, right? Okay? Those good friends. You have your close friends that you're close with at school or even here at church, right? So there they are. You've got a few acquaintances, okay? Some friends that you're friends with, right? Some band buddies, some choir buddies that you're friends with. There they are. Okay? You have some distant friends, some relatives even, okay? They're kind of distant, kind of you're cordial with them, right? Maybe people you met once, but now you're just kind of friends with them on Facebook, right? So, oh, there they are. Okay? So you just kind of randomly met them, right? Camp, something random. Oh, yeah, we're friends on Facebook. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, right? And then you've got, like, everyone else that you just kind of randomly approved, or, hey, what's going on, or, right, you can't really remember their name, but you're really nice to them. You're like, hey, buddy, what's up? And you don't really know. Okay? And so they're friends, and so there's you, and so we're always surrounded by people. We're always connected with people. And now Facebook, and really I'm sure all the social media, they're really good at telling you who your friends are, right? At least your virtual friends, right? They keep track and have all these weird algorithms and stuff that they keep track of posts you like and who you communicate with the most and who you spy on, right? And who you creepy stalk and that kind of stuff. And they keep track of all that stuff and they can tell you who your good friends are, right? But what Facebook, social media, what they can't tell you is what kind of friend you are to them. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We all have good friends, and we all have really bad friends, right? Okay, so today I want to help you think about friendship a bit from a God's perspective, in God's eyes, and what that looks like. Of course, you might be asking, I thought the series was called Love Life. What does being a friend have to do with love, sex, and dating, and all that stuff? But truth be told, in reality, that if you can't be a good friend, you won't be a good spouse later on down the road. If you can't be a good friend now, you're not going to be a good friend, a good spouse later. So, I've laid out 5 ways to be a good, genuine friend. To be a good friend. So, 1, a good friend goes above and beyond. Go above and beyond as a friend. There's a story in the Bible, a parable told by Jesus called the Good Samaritan. Right? It's about a guy who was going down the road. And a group of robbers jumped out, beat him up, robbed him, and left him for dead. I don't know if you've seen somebody who looks near dead or has been left for dead, but they're not in really good condition, okay? They're not doing so hot. They're just left there. He was just left there for dead. There's a couple of priests, a couple Sanhedrin, a couple of religious leaders, a couple of bigwigs in the culture, and they came by and they saw this guy laying in the ditch and they turned away. They went to the other side. They walked on past. And so again, I don't know if you can imagine this, but I like to imagine this stuff sometimes of seeing them kind of walk by. And I'm sure, I don't know that it is necessarily common that you always run upon a half-dead person. Okay, but can you imagine just kind of walking along and suddenly you hear like a, help me, right? And you're like, whoa, right? And it's like, dude's like half dead in the ditch. Okay, and then they just kind of, whoop, right? Walked to the other side and just kept going. And of course, you guys know the story. In Jesus' story, right? The Samaritan comes along. The despised Samaritan who was not as good as those priests and those religious officials. And he comes along and he sees this near-dead guy and he helps him out, right? He picks him up. He lends him a hand. But he doesn't just help like stand up. Like, you okay, dude? Here's some water. You all right? Like, he helps him to the next town. He goes above and beyond. He pays his medical bills. He helps nurse him back to health. He goes above and beyond for this stranger. A good friend will go above and beyond for their friends. Of course, you guys know a bad friend does the least amount of work possible, right? Just enough to still be your friend. Kinda, right? A bad friend ignores other people's needs. A bad friend makes sure that everything revolves around them and no one else. Don't be a bad friend. Don't be selfish. Go above and beyond. So 2, be loyal. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. That's Proverbs 18:24. And we need to be this way too. The Bible, Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in a time of need." Okay, right? Our culture teaches us this even from early on, right? Even from near birth, right? To be loyal to a product. Okay, right? If you drink Coke, you can't drink Pepsi, right? Okay, those are just the rules. Coke, Pepsi. Real quick, who's my Coke drinkers? Who's my Pepsi drinkers? Okay, and there's a weird third realm of Dr. Pepper, right? Okay. So you have to be loyal. Mr. Pibb, that's great stuff too. Okay? So you have to be loyal to that stuff, right? Or if you're a Nebraska fan, okay? Well, you don't have to be. I'm just saying, if you're a Nebraska fan, okay, you can't like Iowa, right? That's bad. And you have to really hate, what, Missouri and OU, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a Nebraska fan, so. Okay? But that's what I'm told, right? Maybe. I don't know. Okay, so you have to be true. You can't cheer for one school and then also like the other one, right? Or if you've got an iPhone, okay, you gotta stick with the Apple products, right? You gotta go all Apple. You can't be getting on that other stuff. Or right, if you have a Droid or Samsung, you've gotta be loyal to that as well, right? But more important than what you drink or what school you cheer for, or what phone you text on, what's more important than that is who you are. And God is looking for loyal people, for someone who is looking to help someone, to be there when someone needs you. Of course, you know, a bad friend turns their back on a friend when things get ugly. Right? A bad friend spreads other people's weaknesses around to help secure their insecurities. A bad friend is loyal in front of your face. They're loyal to your face, but then they backstab you the first chance they get. So don't be a bad friend. The challenge is for us to stay loyal. Even when our friends let us down. Even when our friends disappoint us, to be loyal. Even when we don't feel like being loyal. I mean, what do we call a fan who loves their team when their team's winning great, but then, you know, when their team's like sub 500, they're like, yeah, you know, I kind of like this other team. What do we call that? Bandwagoners, yeah. Okay. Or fair weather friend, or fair weather fan, right? Okay, don't be a fair weather friend where you're just a good friend or bandwagon or friend. Just when things are going good, you're a good friend, but when things go bad, you're not loyal. Be loyal. Now, friends, sometimes, though, they have to say difficult things, right? A real friend refuses to let loyalty get in the way of doing what is right. So a genuine friend also tells the truth and is honest with you. Okay? Proverbs 27:6 says, "Wounds from a sincere friend are better than kisses from the enemy." That's kind of crazy. Proverbs 17:9, "Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends." Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend." Right? A bad friend lets someone get blindsided. A bad friend lets their friend stumble when they need a hand up. A bad friend lets them coast when they should be challenged and pushed. A bad friend lets someone walk right into a bad situation. A bad friend doesn't warn someone of impending danger. They don't say, "Watch out!" A bad friend keeps his mouth shut, or worse, lies and tells someone that, "Oh, everything's great," when it's really not. So be honest. Tell the truth as a good friend. Also, stand together. You have to learn to stand together. Sometimes, you have to stand alone. That's just life. David did against Goliath. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den alone. But it's sure easier to stand together, to do something hard together. There's a group of three guys, three teenagers in the Old Testament who had to stand together against an evil king. The king was telling them to bow down to him, to worship him as God. And these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, no, we won't do it. We will worship the one true God. And they stood together. They were thrown into the furnace together. God saved them. And so together they stood. You can keep reading about that story in the first three chapters of Daniel, about how them as friends stuck together and stood up for what they believed. Two people are better than one. We know this, right? They can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other one can help the other person up. If someone falls into real trouble, they can help them out of it. Likewise, of course, you know two people standing back to back, they can encourage each other, right? You always see people going into battle together, right? I got your back, man. And they go in back to back, covering each other's back and helping each other out so they can stand together, conquer together. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 says, three are better than one. A three-braided cord is not easily broken. So even better than two is three. Standing together makes us strong. This is why life groups are so important. As a church, that's why it's so important to connect, to not just come on Sunday mornings and oh, cool, worship, listen, take notes, whatever, and leave. It's why it's so important to connect and to be known by somebody and somebody else know you, so you can stand together when times get tough, so you can stand together when your life seems to fall apart, so you can encourage each other and build each other up and get each other's back when life is hard. High school groups meet on Sundays. Middle school groups meet on Wednesdays. So if you're not a part, get with Pastor Ryan or myself, and we'll get you hooked up with a great group that you can connect with, that you can grow with, that you can stand together with. Let's hold tightly without wavering, it says in Hebrews, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now the day of His return is near. So right there, Hebrews is asking us to get together, to encourage one another, to build each other up. Last one, number five, is make sacrifices. Give your all for your friends. And of course, this is a game changer when you're a Christian, especially. There's no limit to your love for others. There's no room for grudges. We're commanded in Scripture to love everyone, even our enemies, right? To love everyone. And we see the ultimate example of love in Jesus Christ, in giving His life and sacrificing it all in the demonstration of true love by giving Himself for us. John 15, 13 says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. That's what Jesus did for us. He laid down His life to restore our relationship with Him. When we haven't been loyal, we didn't deserve that. We hadn't been faithful to Him, but He laid down His life for us. He, Jesus, is the perfect friend. So are you holding back on your friends? Do you care about them only when they care about you? Do you help them out even when they don't always help you out? Are you the type of friend that gives it all for your other friends, even if it costs you something great? These things are also important. Like I said, not just so you can be a good friend today. That's important. You should be a good friend today. But so that someday you will be a good spouse. You can tell a lot about someone, not just by who they hang out with, who their friends are, but how they treat their friends, by how good a friend they are. They treat their friends poorly. Why do you think they would treat you any differently? If you aren't loyal to your friends, why would you be loyal to a person you are dating or to someone you marry someday? If you can't tell the truth with your friends, if you can't be honest with your friends today, right now, then why would you be truthful in a relationship another day. If you can't be a good Samaritan, if you can't go above and beyond for your friends today and give up something of value for your friends to help them out, then why would you start doing it in a romantic relationship? If you can't walk through hard times with your friends, times of disagreement, times of conflict with your friends now, if you can't band together and get each other's back now, through thick and thin now, then why would you do it with someone you marry in the future? Especially when things go south. I'm saying if you can't be a good friend now, it's going to be really hard to be a good spouse some other day. Some of you are not far from kind of in that adult level of dating and relationships and looking towards that. Some of you are years away and in middle school. But at this age, we shouldn't worry so much about dating as much as you worry about being a good friend to everyone. You'll need to date someone or to date lots of people so you can become a good kisser or better in bed or whatever. Right now, you need to not date around and focus on being a good friend, on being a loyal friend, on being an honest friend, on focus on standing together and making sacrifices and putting other people first. While in middle school, while in high school, focus on that. Focus on being a good friend to anyone and everyone rather than dating around and just jumping from one romantic nightmare to another. Of course, be careful. There do need to be boundaries. Being friends with someone, especially of the opposite sex, can lead to romantic feelings and push the relationship beyond just friends and into something it shouldn't be. Which we all know so many affairs start with someone being a good friend, with someone being a friend like what we just described. And that friendship leads into something it shouldn't. So be a good friend to those around you, but do it in a context that is appropriate and that honors God. Create and keep those appropriate boundaries as you are a good friend. If you do this, when you do meet the right person someday, then you'll know how to treat them, how to be with them, not just physically, but more importantly, relationally. You will know how to treat them. Because marriage, because romantic relationships like this is so much more than just the physical. It's relationships and relational. It's not just about being with that person physically. It's more about being a friend to them. And if you can't be a good friend now, then you're going to struggle to be a good friend later. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time this morning, Father. We should get to focus on your word, and we get to focus even and see how even in your son, Jesus, how he was the ultimate friend who gave it all for us, even when we didn't deserve it. And so help us to be a good friend to those around us. Help us to be honest. Help us to be loyal. Help us to be a good friend so that we can lay that foundation and build upon that foundation towards healthy relationships. We ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.